Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode number 60 for Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. We have a very special guest today, and we're having a wonderful conversation about what we're going to talk about today. I am talking to Bill Bongiorno, the president of Blue Chip Public Relations, which specializes in working with financial advisors to help them gain name recognition and new business through high-impact media placements. The website is bluechippr.com, and he can be reached at bill@bluechippr.com. We're going to talk today about the five tools that advisors can use for media relations. And I want to preface this before we even go any farther that you should, if you are not media savvy, you need to hire somebody like Bill to give you media training. That was probably the greatest training that I ever had as a business owner when I went through media training. Because then these tools will be much more effective for you. So I just wanted to say that at the beginning, Bill. I hope you don't mind that I pitched you a little bit there. But because these five tools are flipping awesome, let's just jump right into the first one, which is what?
Which is HARO, which stands for Help a Reporter Out. And what I like about this is it's a free service that advisors can take advantage of. And it's passive. You don't have to be proactive. And what it is you'll get three emails a day with stories that writers are working on. And they give you the deadline and they give you your questions. And it's very simple to, you know, you have to answer these topics directly in an email, send it back to the reporter before the deadline. And it really only takes maybe 5 to 10 minutes a day. It's numbered. You can just look through the different topics and outlets and see where it's a fit for an advisor to reply. So it's really a great way for advisors to kind of get their feet wet in a passive way. It doesn't take a lot of time or money.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also, I think it's important to remember that don't respond to absolutely everything, right? You want to respond to the things that you are truly an expert or a specialist in. But there are some really good advantages and disadvantages to help a reporter out. Why don't you talk about those?
Sure. Well, if you want to get a paid subscription, I'm not pitching any of these per se, but then you can use a keyword search so that you will only get stories in a financial feed that writers are working on on financial stories. And it is three emails a day that you get. So it's like 5:30 in the morning, 12:30 in the afternoon, and 5:30 in the evening. And it's a way for you to craft your responses for maximum chance of being included in a story, which goes back to your point, Matt, about being media trained. You really have to reply directly to their questions, give them quotable quotes that they can use. They're not interested in an advisor just emailing and saying, yeah, I can talk about it. This is who I am. They don't have the time for that. They're getting a lot of responses, and they just need the answers for publication directly they can quote and put it right into the article.
Now, you have some great tips to help people be successful in working with each of these five tools. So let's talk about the tips. You've already hinted at a couple.
Well, this service doesn't accept attachments, so you have to put everything inside an email. And it does give deadlines, but I would suggest that if you can, reply as soon as possible, because there is a lot of volume. There is a lot of interest. The writers do get a lot of pitches back. And the early bird, you know, catches the worm. And I think that gives you a leg up on other people.
Sure. I liked how you said that you want to answer their direction or their questions directly, too. But you have a little bit more about that. So can you elaborate on that?
Sure. If they're talking about, you know, interest rates and bonds, you want to stick to interest rates and bonds. You don't want to go off on tangents. Very often they'll just take exactly what you wrote in the email in a response and they'll publish that directly. Let them know that they can publish it. It's for attribution. put your contact information in there, and be sure to put your credentials in there. Any other media that an advisor's been in will be helpful if you have links in there, so they know you're credible. The media has used you before as a source, and you know how to talk to the media.
Wonderful. I had heard about Haro previously, but this next one I've never heard of. So what's the second tool?
The second tool is Press Rush. Press Rush. So it's a journalist search engine. So it enables you to find journalists. Now, this is a more proactive approach rather than just having something come to your inbox and reply to it. So you can actually search for journalists that are writing on different topics that advisors can talk about. And it's one user is $50 a month, which typically is enough. If you want to spend more than that, three users are $100 a month. You can start with a 2-week trial, and it's really a good tool to help find journalists and very inexpensive as well compared to a lot of other services, which we'll talk about later.
Okay. What is the big difference here? Besides this is a search engine, I don't know. Can you unpack that a little bit more? I'm not exactly clear on how this works.
Well, you can pick particular topics and keywords, and you could put that into the search and see what writers have written on these topics. And it'll actually send you links to the stories. And you really want to narrow down your search, because you will be getting emails on these different topics on all the stories that these writers have covered. So you want to be sure to narrow it as much as you can. But it also allows you to see their social media accounts, which is very helpful, and we'll talk about that later. But it is a way to know who is writing stories on the particular topics that advisors can talk to.
Gotcha. Advantages and disadvantages. So you just talked about some of the advantages. What else is there that we need to know about Press Rush?
Well, what's nice is you can send a pitch directly through Press Rush, right to the writer's email. It has a pop-up window. You can do that directly. A disadvantage of this compared to some other media search tools is that it only has emails. It doesn't have any phone numbers for any of the journalists. So if you want to call them, follow up, have a conversation with them, leave a message, you're going to have to dig around to find that information. And there are other tools that we'll be talking about as well, but that is something to consider if that's something you want to do.
Okay. Tips for using Press Rush.
Narrow your search as much as possible. Otherwise, you're going to get a lot of emails. It may be too much. You don't want to put 10, 20 financial topics in there, because you'll literally get, your inbox will be full. So definitely keep it to how you're positioned as a financial advisor. What's your value proposition? What can you talk about? Are you a retirement specialist? Are you an income specialist? Are you a stock picker? What does a financial advisor do for their clients where they see themselves being in articles that cover those topics?
All right. Now, the third one is another one I've never heard of before, and I'm sure it doesn't surprise our audience that I haven't heard of a lot of these before, because this isn't what we do, because this is what you do, Bill. So what's the next one?
The next one is Agility, and it allows you to build custom lists of reporters and send news and send pitches via email. I assume that advisors know the word pitch, because they have to pitch their business. So we're talking about the pitch. We're talking about pitching reporters, story ideas, your comments, your position on certain topics happening in finance, your response to news that's going on in the financial world. This one is more expensive, however. It is a really more proactive tool. And this will cost advisors about $200, $300 a month. We could talk about some of the advantages and disadvantages as well.
All right, bring it on. Let's go. Let's go right into those.
Okay. There's not a limit on the number of recipients you can send to, so that's great. There are services out there that will limit you. There are also other services out there that are more expensive that will charge you credits when you've kind of used up the amount of emails you can send. So this really gives you a nice way of not having to worry about, geez, I'm up to my limit on how many people I can send to. It also allows more than one user at a time. There are some services out there where you just have one login and only one person at a time can use it, which could be an issue if you have a few people who are working on different news releases or story pitches. You can have three windows open and be looking at where your last distribution went while working on something new. So that's definitely an advantage over some other services.
But the disadvantages are interesting. What are the disadvantages?
It's more costly than Brush, but it's more robust.
Okay.
You can share it with a couple of advisors maybe in your network to split the costs.
Oh.
I think that's a good way to go. That would definitely be helpful to help share the cost.
Sure. Well, and the fact that you can have the multiple users, right, that's fantastic. And so if you have a multiple advisor office, and if all of you specialize in something different, then that could be a great way to split up those costs.
Absolutely. And then it doesn't become so cost prohibitive.
Okay. Now, ReleaseWire is number four. Tell us what that is.
Well, there are a lot of news release distribution services out there. I think people are most familiar probably with PR Newswire and Business Wire. Those are kind of name brands for news release distribution. They've been around a long time. The issue is that they can become very expensive very quickly. They require membership fees. They have a word count limit of 400 words. Anything over that, it starts to stack up as far as the cost. If you're sending a news release out to be distributed to media outlets, you need to include a disclosure, a disclaimer, anything along those lines, you know, that can eat up through your 400-word limit. So the nice thing about ReleaseWire is there is no word limit, so you don't get charged extra. There's no membership fee. You can distribute a news release for $40. The main issue with putting out a news release through a distribution service is that you really want your news to show up online. And my experience has been that whether you use ReleaseWire or one of the other wires that are less expensive, you're still going to have your news show up online when you get Googled. So a lot of the distribution is the same. So I would suggest, you know, if you're on a budget and you want to use several of these tools, ReleaseWire would fit in nicely to your budget.
Gotcha. So the tips to use ReleaseWire.
Even though there's no word limit, I would still keep it to a reasonable length. I would say 800 words maybe should be the maximum. You know, you don't want to be writing a dissertation on here. You want to have a headline that covers the overall story, have a nice lead about what it's about, and then have kind of an inverted pyramid where you drill down to the details in a news release.
Got it. Now, the last one, I'm just going to talk about the benefits of this very quickly, and then I'm obviously going to turn it over to you. Just my own personal experience and Kirk's personal experience is using Twitter and LinkedIn specifically. It's unbelievable when you are connected with reporters, which I highly recommend all of you do, not just local reporters, but national reporters, especially on Twitter, and you respond very quickly. A lot of this you all have to understand is how quickly, as Bill had already said, the early bird gets the worm here. But the first time I was ever in the Wall Street Journal was because I responded to a Twitter post. So let's talk about that.
There's so much information available now on journalists that wasn't available, you know, just several years ago before Twitter. What I typically do is before I'm going to reach out to a journalist, I'll check them on Twitter. I'll follow them. I'll at least see what they're covering. I'll see what they're tweeting about, what they're retweeting. You really get a lot of intel on journalists. So if you see somebody has a particular, you know, disinterest in something, you'd want to stay away from that. You can really get a lot of information on journalists. A lot of them will post links to their articles, so you can go and check those out, see what they've covered. Some of them will put their email address on there. I would say that's probably in the minority. Occasionally, they will put their phone number on there, so you can get some contact information as well off of Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's really just a fantastic tool. I know a lot of advisors are still shy of using social media. It's not a matter of, you know, necessarily using it a lot, but it is a tool that I think advisors should be using on some level.
Amen to that, brother.
So the advantages is it helps build a relationship with journalists. If you are engaging journalists and you are using Twitter, I would suggest retweeting their stories, mm-hmm. Giving them as much exposure as you can, helping them out. I mean, it always comes down to that. They've got deadlines. They've got a lot of pressure. The media business is in contraction all the time. The LA Times is being sold. It's kind of a little chaotic right now in the media world. So as much as you can help them out, that just builds a great rapport, and that'll help you to get into stories and be a source. And then when they need somebody, they'll be coming to an advisor who's helped them promote their work as well. There's also LinkedIn, which is important. You want to connect with reporters, share their stories there. That's pretty important, too, because we're talking about, you know, contacts in the industry, other media, a lot of different influencers. So you definitely want to help out reporters and get their work seen as well.
Absolutely. Let's talk about direct messaging on Twitter and LinkedIn, if you don't mind.
Sure. Even using these tools, PressRush, Agility, some others, there can still be journalists that you want to reach out to that you can't find, or you can't contact, you can't find your contact information. So I've been successful when that's the case, going to their Twitter, and if they do have the button there to direct message them, use that. That's the way I got to a Forbes writer, and he's quoted our clients many times, and his articles get hundreds of thousands of reads. And the only way I was able to find him and contact him was direct messaging him through Twitter.
Anything else when it comes to using social media as such?
I would just say follow the targeted journalists, retweet their work, understand what they're writing, what they're covering, their pressure, what they need to get done, share their relevant stories on LinkedIn, connect to members of the media. I would say overall, advisors should really be thinking about engaging the media. I think there's still a lot of fear and intimidation out there, but 99% of the time, journalists are writing stories and they just need help. They need sources. They need information that is really crucial to them. They're not looking to get anybody. They're not looking to be negative. If we're talking about, you know, financial markets, you know, the whipsaw we've been through, or whether it's cryptocurrencies or whatever's happening in the financial world, they need help with it. They need experts. They need information. They want to help educate their audiences. And really, it's a way for advisors to get their name out into the investing public, build some name recognition, build some credibility, attract new business, and have the phone ring. You've got a natural marketing tool that's available. It's great to be your own media, which I think most advisors should be doing, whether it's their own podcast or blog or social media or whatever they choose to do. But reaching out to the media and doing proactive media relations to an established market already, it's just part of it. If you are going to be doing a podcast, it would be great to say, hey, we were just featured in Barron's.
Yeah.
That covers, you know, a lot of fear that people may have as far as their credibility. It really carries a lot of weight if an advisor has been in some top name brand media, because earned media has kind of made a comeback with the fake news that we've had and kind of different outlets out there that can be kind of suspect. People still trust a Barron's and a Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. So it's really something that advisors should be thinking about. And also it's local press as well. I think a lot of advisors steer away from that. They think, oh, I want to be in national press, and they forget about their local press. But I think most advisors, their clients are local. So they should be thinking about their company milestones, company anniversaries, when they're hiring people, when their assets under management are reaching certain levels, they want to be putting news out about that to their local media outlets. Much easier to get coverage there. And there's also outlets like The Patch and The Daily Voice where advisors can just post their own news releases, announcements. That shows up online when people are doing searches. So there's really a lot of different tools and tricks of the trade to be using for advisors to get their company name out there, position themselves as financial experts, help educate the public through the financial media, and have their phone ring, grow their practices, and increase their AUM, and really make a difference in helping people with their financial lives.
There's so much misinformation out there. I hear this from our clients all the time who are podcasting, and they say, you know, and I ask them, hey, you know, what is the motivation for you to do the podcast? And most of them say it's because I want to make sure that my clients are being informed of the right information. And that's really what's going on here. Reporters want that right, that good information, and you can be that resource for them by using these five tools that Bill just talked about. All right, Bill, any closing statements or thoughts?
Just, I would say to advisors, you know, dip their toe in, start with Harrow, be reactive, use this passive tool, get some experience, and then look at these different tools that are available. There obviously are more tools out there. You know, dig around, have some experience with it. Do be on social media, at least at a minimum, follow the reporters that are writing on different financial topics that advisors know they can talk on. And think about building this in to be part of an overall strategy.
Well, thank you very much, Bill, for your thought leadership today.
Thank you, Matt. It was a pleasure.
We will make sure we have links to all of the tools that Bill was just talking about today on today's podcast, The Five Tools Advisors Can Use for Media Relations. This was episode 64, Kirk Lowe. This is Matt Halloran. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast today, and make sure you subscribe, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.